home, just like Ron was talking about. And great old keepsake. Good to see you in church. Welcome to the first Sunday of 2026. And glad you could be with us to worship the Lord today. So I pray you're strapped in, ready to go, buckled up, and ready for a new year. It's going to be an exciting, fun year. And we'll see what God has in store for us. And we don't know what that is. It's just going to unfold, and we'll trust Him day by day. Let me share with you, though, a few things so you know how to pray for a few people that really need your prayers. And one is Roxanne Smith. And we need to pray for Roxanne. Their daughter, Tiffany, got a hold of me on New Year's Day and said that her father, Mark, had passed away. And Mark has had dementia now for quite a while, and at least I can remember back 2-3 years, at least perhaps even longer, I'm not sure. But I know it's been a real long journey for Mark and Roxanne, and she had to put him in a home. And then here recently he got pneumonia and had to go to the hospital. And long story short, the Lord took him home on New Year's Day this year. So anyway, the family, because it's been a long journey for Roxanne and the daughters and that, they have two daughters, and that the family has decided that they're not going to do a public memorial service. They are going to do a private, just for the family, service at Griffin at 10:30 on Wednesday morning. So I'll be meeting with the family and just the immediate family for that. And there will not be a visitation. And they've also, we offered our church family, we offered to do a funeral meal for them, but they just prefer right now. It's been, like I said, a long, rough journey for Roxanne, so they're not gonna have that either. So anyway, we need you just to pray for Roxanne, and if you want to send her a card of encouragement, you can do that. And if you need an address, we'll get you the address that you can mail a card to them and pray for them. Also, continue to pray for Norma Eibach. She was in the hospital, went to rehab, back to the hospital. Now she's back at rehab, and that. So pray for her. She is continue to get a little bit better, and just keep her on the prayer list, and that her recovery, that she'll be out soon. She's always asking about her church family. How's everybody doing? So pray for her. Also, too, Del Harmon. Del and Char, you'll sit right back here. But Del, the other day, took a fall, and they're not here today. So pray for Del and Char. They both have some challenges going on, and it's not what Del needed right now. And pray for him, if you would. Brother Bob Wilcox is in the hospital up at Royal Oak. And Bob was taken in here a few days ago, and that really struggling. They were able to drain off, I think, 6 liters of fluid off his body. That's about a gallon and a half, and that. And so anyway, he's has a lot of challenges and that along the way. Mentally strong. Neil was just visiting with him, but his body is really starting to give him difficulties and trying to shut down and that. So just pray for Bob and pray for the family, his sons Phil and Paul, and just pray for them. Brother Bob was such an influence here. He led our music here for a few years. Bob was one of our deacons, and that, and just a great servant of the Lord. I know he's ready to go to be with Mardell whenever that time is, but just continue to pray for Brother Bob Wilcox. Encourage you to pray for Henrietta Ellis. She's at home now, and pray for Denny Bledsoe. So if you would, pray for these dear folks. Gentlemen, if you'll come at this time, time to receive the morning offering. So I'd encourage you to lift these up in prayer, especially Roxanne this week and that. And so I think Roxanne and Mark have been married 57 years and that. So he was an Ohio State Buckeye, and but we won't hold that against him. I was born and raised in Ohio. Mark was, I think, born and raised down in Dayton area, and he and I always used to talk about Ohio and what's going on down Ohio and the Buckeyes. But Roxanne needs your prayers this week. This is Andrew and Vange McClure, and they're missionaries to the Republic of Palau, so Palau, and continue in the Micronesia Islands. Pray for them, and we support their ministry. Their family, their grandfather's a missionary there. He's got another brother that's a missionary there, and that's so doing a great job. They've done a great job there in that part of the world, getting the gospel to those Micronesia Island areas. So Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we receive the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to give today. And God, we thank you for the faithfulness of God's people in their giving in the year of 2025. And we look forward now to the year of 2026 to see what you're going to do in your leadership and guidance and direction and the path going forward. God, we just thank you for the blessings. We pray for these that have medical needs in their life and challenges along the way. God, we lift them up in prayer. We pray especially this week for Roxanne Smith. You'll be with her as she lays her dear husband to rest this week. And God, just what a very special family. We just pray you'll be, the Holy Spirit will be a comfort and help to the girls and all the extended family. Watch over them. God, we thank you for our country, our nation, and pray for our president, pray for our leaders. Pray for a great year this year, in the year of 2026, the 250th year birthday of America. And so, Father, we look forward to the celebration of that and just look forward to your continued hand and your blessings upon this nation, upon this people, and upon this church. God, we thank you for the families that are here and thank you for their faithfulness and their love for you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, gentlemen. Thank you. All right. As they pass the offering plate, we encourage you. You got one more week, and then we'll get fully engaged back. If you got your Bible, we're going to be in Philippians. If you want to find your place there, Philippians chapter 4. But things will get started back up. I think Faith Bible Institute starts back up on January the, I think, 13th. And the Ladies' Bible Study will start back up on the 13th. So some of the ministries that were kind of on a holiday break, they're getting ready to gear up and get ready to get started back up. And so pray for them, and we'll get back in the full swing of things here as we get ready to go into this year. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in the year of 2026. And I just want to remind you that last Sunday, the message that I preached last Sunday was out of Ephesians. We're going to be in Philippians 4 today. Just to remind you that what we talked about last week was being intentional, and that have a purpose, have a plan, be intentional what you're going to do, and that as you go forward this year. Matter of fact, last Sunday I gave you five things to think about, and that you should be intentional. I know we went through the New Year's holiday, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve or whatever, and some will make New Year's resolutions, only to find that many times those are broken or not kept, or many of them fall by the wayside along the way. But I shared with the congregation last week five things you need to be intentional about, and don't lose sight of that. Number one is your faith. And that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you grow in your faith. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so allow the Word of God to be a major part of your life. Stay in your Bible. And somebody once told me years and years ago, if you want to understand the Bible, there's three things that you got to do. You got to read your Bible, you got to read your Bible, and you got to read your Bible. And you'd be surprised how many people will go from Sunday to Sunday and then don't read your Bible. So it should be the Word of God. You should be intentional in reading your Bible and growing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll help you get through a lot of things and challenges in life. The second thing is, we talked about, was relationships. You know, it's sad to say, but some of the people that were with us in 2025 are now not going to be with us in 2026. You never know what a year is going to unfold. So the relationships that you have in your life, you might want to inventory those, and then reevaluate where you're at with those, and then do all you can do to strengthen those relationships along the way. Be intentional about that. Let the people that you care about, that you love them and care for them and nurture them and develop those relationships. The third thing I mentioned last week that we need to be intentional about is finances. And, you know, money touches all parts of our lives. And what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, what you're going to do, what you're going to drive, how you're going to dress, money's a part of our lives. So you need to look at money. I like what Dave Ramsey said. Ramsey said that money is neutral. It can be used for good or bad. So you got to tell your money where to go. And so how you're going to spend it, and be wise with what you do. Dave Ramsey does a great job in that Financial Peace University, and some of our church family has been through that. There's a lot of great insight. So be intentional when it comes to finances. And then, if you will, I think number four was to be intentional about your health. Don't take for granted your health that God has given to you. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and so take care of that which you have. And a lot of times, a lot of the prayer requests that we share here in the congregation is so-and-so is having this challenge, or so-and-so is having this challenge, or health along the way. And like somebody once said, boy, if I'd have known my health was going to be like this in my older years, I'd have taken better care of myself when I was younger along the way. Well, you got a foundation, you got to build on that. Start where you're at. Do the very best you can. Take care of yourself health-wise. And then, if you will, your work or your career or your job or whatever you're going to do, your passion in life, do it and do it as unto the Lord. I was talking to Sunday school earlier today about that very issue, because I know we have a lot of retirees in our church. And you say, well, I'm retired. I don't have to be intentional when I'm retired. No, I think you need to be even more intentional when you're retired. If you're retired, you ought to be intentional and with a plan of what you're going to do and what you're going to, how you're going to live your life and what you're going to do for the Lord. But here in Philippians 4 is probably, I think, one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible. This is a chapter that I think on this first Sunday, starting out this year, is a good chapter to focus on. And I simply want to take my text verse out of verse 13, and we're going to go back and read some of these verses here in a moment. But where Paul said to the church at Philippi, I can do, in verse 13, all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's a great verse to be able to hang on to. It's a verse that I would encourage you to claim. It's a verse that I think that if I could encourage you to do anything, is to realize that you have great potential, you have a great future, you have great opportunity, and you literally can do all things through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the book, the main book that you and I should read and study is always the Bible. There's never another book in life that's going to be any better than the Bible, so spend time in that. That'll help you with your faith. I have hundreds, if not thousands, of books that being a pastor over 50 plus years that you kind of accumulate along the way. But there's a book in my library that I dig it out and read it every once in a while just to reread it. I've had it probably 40 years, and it's a book written by David Schwartz, and it's called The Magic of Thinking Big. The Magic of Thinking Big. And looking at it, it just has a lot of good insight, a lot of good valuable things in it that I started reading it when I was about 30 years old. And found some great insights into it. But there was three simple thoughts that I pulled out of that book, and I'll just share it with you. And we're going to look here at Philippians, and that is that as you go into 2026, think success. Don't think failure. Think success. Don't think failure. By that meaning, you are what you think about many times. So be careful what you think about. The Bible talks about be not conformed to this world over in Romans chapter 12, and that we need to renew our mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. So protect your mind. I have another book in my library that I get out and read every once in a while. It's called The Battle for the Mind. And it's a good reread and to reread every once in a while, because I think Satan is very much alive and very active and will try to go after your mind and your heart, try to grasp, try to get you to doubt, try to get you to question, try to get you to question your salvation, try to get you to question God. The battle for the mind. But in that, he said, think success, don't think failure. In other words, dominate your thinking with what you can do. And what you can do, Paul said, is I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Be careful what you think about. Number two is to remind yourself regularly that you're better than you think you are. You know, it's easy to understand and look at the Bible and you realize today that yes, it's true that none have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We realize we're sinners. But to realize also, too, remind ourselves that if we're not for God, we cannot be who we are. And so think of yourself today as being possessed by the Holy Spirit of God, and you have a great future, great opportunities ahead of you. And then to, if you will, thought number three would be, is believe big, think big. You know, probably the one that influenced me, I think, the first time that I met a man years ago, happened to be at Cedarville University. And I was at a Word of Life conference there. And I met Dr. Jerry Falwell, who pastored the Thomas Road Baptist Church, and for the first time. And I have had a chance to be around him different times over the year in ministry-related things. He was one of the guys that probably as I'm around him and was visiting with him and spent time in some conferences with him and that had the ability to think big. And his faith thought big. And so when you look at it today, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me today. And by that, I'd encourage you to expand your thinking, to protect your mind, to realize there really is a battle for the mind. And I love it here in this chapter that Paul put this verse in a chapter that talks about not being anxious. Some of you this year are going to be anxious. Some of you this year are going to worry. You're going to worry about this and worry about that. You're going to fret about this. You're going to fret about that. And here Paul sticks this verse in this chapter that tries to remove that fear, tries to remove the anxiety. So let's look at what he says here and how Paul brings this out. And this is the believer's strength and how you and I can rejoice over anxiety, over our fears, over our challenges. He says in verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Well, you ought to underline that part in that verse right there. Stand fast in the Lord. This year in 2026, don't back up, don't retreat, don't quit, don't give in. Don't let your anxiety take over. Don't let your fears take over. Stand fast in the Lord. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. Then he said here, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I'll come back to that in just a moment here. And he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now you ought to underline that verse, circle it, put it in parenthesis, whatever, and hang on to that verse because there will be times this year where you might get discouraged or you might get disheartened or you might get like things are overwhelming and you're being overtaken with whatever is going on. Here we're commanded to rejoice in the Lord always, Paul said, and again I say rejoice. And then Paul shares with us here about the secret of having peace with God. You know, that's probably the most important thing that you and I know, that we should have an inner peace that passeth all understanding, a peace that he says. Notice what he says here in verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And I love verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You ought to underline that verse. You ought to pray and make a prayer list and make a supplication list and with thanksgiving pray about whatever it is that God has laid. And when he says here, be careful for nothing, he's saying here, don't worry, don't fret, don't get caught up in anxiousness, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If you'll do that, he says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, then shall keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. So we need to be proactive in that area. You want peace with God? There's a certain formula on things that you can follow here. Make you a prayer list. Make you a supplication list. Be thankful and let your requests be made known unto God. Not just once, not twice, not three times, but time and time and time again. And God will give you an inner peace that will keep your heart and keep your mind in Christ Jesus. And then I love what he says here in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So there it goes. He gives you a formula right here. And you know, only you have the ability to control what goes on in your head. You have the ability to control your thoughts. You have the ability to control what you think about, what you dwell upon, what you focus upon. So he gives us some pretty good insight here. What things are honest, what things are just, what things are pure, what things are lovely, what things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Fill those things with your mind. Those things which ye have both learned and received in verse 9 and heard and seen in me, do, and then the God of peace shall be with you. You can have victory then over this anxiousness, he says in verse 10. I rejoice, Paul said, in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, and boy, here's a good one for you, hang on to this, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Doesn't mean everything's always going to be easy. Doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges. You will. There'll be battles that you're going to have to fight your way through. But Paul here had many battles to fight through. But he said, whatsoever state I am, therewith to find myself content. Because he thought on certain things, put himself in a frame of mind, and understood here that the peace of God which comes through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound in everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, Paul said. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, and that ye did communicate with my affliction. And now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full and have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And you got to love verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need, doesn't say wants, need, supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory and ever, forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you, and all the saints salute you chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is a great verse. This is a great opportunity. When you think about here, there's several verses you ought to claim in this chapter. So it's a great chapter to launch into a new year on, and to focus on, and to put our attention on some things that are so important. Philippians teaches us about our believer's strength, that you and I can have strength over anxiety, that you and I teaches us the secret of having peace with God. The secret, it teaches about the presence of God in our lives and the peace that passeth all understanding that can overcome anything that we're going through. It teaches us about victory and having victory over being anxious. You know, when you look here in verse 1, let's go back to verse 1. He talks about the beloved and long for. Paul reveals his deep affection for the Philippian believers. You notice how he words that there? Dearly beloved and long for, my joy and crown. Talks about my joy and crown in that Paul did not derive his joy from circumstances, but from his fellow believers in Christ. You and I all have fellow believers in Christ, people that have impacted us, and that's really what Christianity really should be at the very core of it, is edification, should be about encouragement, it should be about exhortation, lifting each other up in prayer, lifting each other up when they're going through a very difficult and a challenging time. We all need to be encouraged. Everybody needs to be exhorted. Everybody needs a pat on the back and say, hang in there. When things get tough, you can do this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So here, the crown refers to like that wreath received by an athlete for winning a contest, and or a person is to be honored. So the Philippian believers here were proof that Paul's efforts were successful. And he, notice what he said here. It's interesting. He said in verse 1, I ask you to underline it, stand fast in the Lord is a Greek word often used to describe a soldier standing at his post, at his military command, standing at his post. Stand firm. Don't waver. Stand fast in the Lord. You know, every year, I wish it were not so, but every year, as year goes by, and year, there'll be somebody that was here last year that you won't see him here in the Lord's house this year. For whatever reason, a circumstance of life, a challenge, a struggle, a battle, whatever it is has distracted them or pulled them away, and they've given up the fight. Don't quit. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on Christ. Don't quit on the Bible. Don't quit on prayer. and be faithful. Here, he uses a strong word, stand fast, stand your ground in the Lord. And then you got to love in verse 2 where he says here, be of the same mind. He's talking about these two women here in the Bible. They be of the same mind in the Lord. Paul was urging or appealing to these two, Euodias here and Syntyche, that they were prominent members in the church at Philippi. And meeting with Paul when he first preached the gospel in Philippi, they were also leading really two opposing factions in the church body. And what was happening, most likely it could have been some personal conflict or whatever. But here he was telling them in the body of Christ, in the Philippian church, be of the same mind. Your enemy is never going to be another brother, sister in Christ, somebody that you know that you just don't get along with. Be of the same mind. Unity. You got to keep in mind, God is always about unity. God is always about harmony. God is always about a oneness. Satan is always about chaos and disharmony and division. And so there you see the contrast between the two all the time. So he's admonishing these here in the Philippian church, be of the same mind. Sure, you can agree to disagree. That's okay. But you don't have to hate your brother or sister in Christ. So be careful. Spiritual, in other words here, be in harmony. Spiritual stability depends on a mutual love and a harmony and a peace between believers. The disunity in the Philippian church was about to destroy the integrity of its testimony. Look in verse 3. He uses the word here, true yoke fellow. That simply means companions. This is you know what this is a picture of when he uses that term here, or fellow laborers he uses here. True yoke fellow kind of gives us a picture of two oxen in a yoke pulling the same load. If you put two oxen in a load and harness them together, you and I are much stronger together in harmony and unison and togetherness and oneness in the body of Christ. A companion is a partner or an equal in a specific endeavor, and that in this case is a spiritual one. Clement here, one of the church elders also, of which nothing is really known about him. And so he does make a reference, you notice in verse 3, the book of life. You know, it's interesting, the book of life in eternity past, God registered. There's a book given, the book of life. And in the book of life is the names of those that will bow their knee and profess their faith and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find here in the book of life, it registered all the names of those in the book that identifies those that have eternal life. This week, January 1, Mark Smith. Boy, you know, I always loved my visits with Mark. He was always a good, interesting man to talk with and to visit with and to come. But this week, found out his name was written in the book of life, and he made his entrance, grand entrance, into the halls of heaven. Look here, if you will, in verse four, he says here, rejoice. Not only just rejoice, but rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. That's a very difficult thing to do. It sure is easy to rejoice when things are going well, but what about when things are not going well? When the challenges come along the way, the hurdles of life come along the way, the ups and downs come along the way, you get a medical report you don't want along the way, you have a family issue that you wasn't anticipating or something come up and now you got to deal with that. Rejoice, he says here. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. You got to love here in verse 5, we are to have generosity toward others, and having mercy or leniency toward the faults of others or the failures of others, be impatient. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. And be patient, be generous to others. And then don't be anxious for anything. Fret and worry, you know what fret and worry do? Fret and worry indicate a lack of trust in God's wisdom. It's a lack of trust in God's sovereignty. It's a lack of trust in God's power. So delighting in the Lord, meditating on His Word are a great antidote to anxiety and issues and challenges. In everything, all difficulties are within God's purposes and plans. You know, I'm sure if you had Job here, you could debate that, because Job had a lot of difficulties, a lot of challenges, and you think about what that poor man went through. And then God simply said to Satan one day, have you considered my servant Job? So God allowed and permitted all the things that happened to Job during that time for a plan, a purpose, and a reason. And when you think about it here and everything, even all difficulties, many times, sometimes we don't like difficulties. Nobody likes a struggle. Nobody likes a challenge. Nobody, you know, but even then, when you see those come up, say, God, I don't understand this. I don't have the answers for this, but I accept it. And I rejoice in you always at knowing that what I'm going through, whatever it is, there's a plan and a purpose in your sovereign will. So I'm going to trust you completely to help me to be able to get through this. And doing so, peace will come. It says here, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know what that peace is in the Bible? You can be gone through some of the worst, nasty stuff in life, and yet you can have an inner peace down inside in the heart and in the mind. It's that inner calm is promised to the believer who has a thankful attitude based on an unwavering confidence that God is able and willing to do what is best for his children. So I'd encourage you, when the challenges come, when the heartache comes, when the pain comes, when the anxiety comes, when the fears come, draw closer to the Lord and closer to him in the middle of all that. Don't back away. Don't shy away. Sometimes the pain gets so overwhelming and the anxiety of it becomes so overwhelming, sometimes people will have a natural emotion to pull away from that. And then to even go a step farther and say, God, why is this happening to me? Well, you don't know. I don't know why. I don't think Job knew, really. Why is that happening? His wife questioned, his friends questioned, and what he went through. And yet Job just drew closer to God through all that process. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost then his health. He lost everything. And his friends accused him, Job, what did you do? What sin have you got in your life that God brought all this on your life? There was nothing there. It was just simply God was putting him to a test. And he was honored by that in the end of the book of Job. And so you find here the peace of God through all that. I really believe Job had an inner peace. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. It surpasses all understanding. That refers to the divine origin of peace. It transcends the human intellect, the analysis, and the insight. So we ought to, you know, when it talks about here in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, to guard that is a military term, means to watch over our hearts and minds. Paul was not making a distinction between the two. He was given a comprehensive statement referring to the whole part of the inner being. He says here, in the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 and verse 9, the presence of God is so vitally important when he talks about in verse 8, he talks about several things here. Notice what he says, those things which are true. There's number one. Number two, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, what are those things that we're to think upon? That which is true is that which is godly and in God and in Christ. Spend time meditating this year in 2026 on your relationship. You want to grow your faith this year? You want to be intentional with your faith this year? One of the five things I encourage you to do is to realize, to get alone with the Lord. And what's the greatest commandment in the Bible? That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's the greatest commandment in all the Bible. Jesus said that and taught that. And then the second all is to love thy neighbor as thyself. So the greatest thing that you can do in 2026 is to nurture and grow your relationship with your Creator God, with your Heavenly Father, and draw closer to him in the good times and even in the challenging times. So when he says that which is true, it's that which is in God and that in Christ. When he talks about that which is honest, it would mean things that would be worthy of respect, or meditate on the sacred, meditate on the holy. The things that are just refers to that which is right. Some things are right, some things are wrong. Focus on that which is right. You know, it's always right. It's always the right thing to it's never, I think it was Bob Jones Sr., Bob Jones University said this, something to this effect. It's never right to do a wrong to accomplish a right. It's always right to do right, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, make the right choice. You and I will make this year thousands of choices. Make the right choice along the way. It's one of the things that we're to think upon. And then pure, that which is morally clean and undefiled, pure, purity. We live in a world today that is not pure. We live in a world that is filthy and very lustful and very open. It's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And yet we're to think on the things that are pure, the things that are clean, the things that are undefiled. Think on those things. Don't let Satan get a hold of your mind. The battle for the mind, don't let Satan to get in and control the mind that he can play in your heart and in your life. So think on that which is pure. Then think on that which is lovely, which really is that which is pleasing, or that which is kind, or that which is gracious. And then he wraps it all up with that which is of a good report, meaning that which is highly regarded or well thought of, or kindness or courtesy or respect. Be a good person. Think the right things. Guard your heart and guard your mind. And he says, if you have any virtue, if you have any praise, think on these things. Notice he says in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, you've seen in me, do. So the Philippians were to follow the truth of God proclaimed along with the example of that truth that was lived out by the Apostle Paul. They were to follow Paul as Paul followed Christ. And so we find then he can give you the victory over being anxious. In verse 10 all the way down to verse 23 there, Paul expressed his gratitude to the Philippians for their kind expressions of love and their generous gift that they sent him, and thus provides a powerful example how Christians can be content regardless of the circumstances of life. You may have circumstances this year that could develop that you weren't prepared for. You didn't know was coming. You're going to get blindsided by it. You need to be prepared for it. You need to be mentally tough for it. You need to prepare your mind and heart, and there's a real battle that is going on out there. So he reminds the Philippians here in verse 10 that you lacked opportunity. The Philippians had the opportunity to help Paul about 10 years prior to this, but now had not. They had the opportunity to help. So and he simply says that whatever state he's in, whatever the circumstances are, in verse 11, he defines those. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And we find here that he said, talks about being abased or abound. Paul knew how to get along with humble means. You know, when you think about it here in verse 12, he said, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. In other words, he learned how to get along in the good times when you have things. He learned how to get along in the bad times when you don't have things. I've often said, I think I could live on cornbread and pinto beans. Amen? I know none of you would do that. But there's got to be pinto beans in heaven with a little barbecue sauce and onions and along the way. But Paul's saying here, there are going to be times in your life where you may be broke. You may even be broker than broke. There might be times where you have things and times when you don't have things. Paul's saying here, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. If you've been blessed, God has blessed you. Be thankful. To be full and to be hungry. Paul knew how to be content in the good times. He knew how to be content in the bad times. And that's where he leads us to that verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He had the strength, Paul had the strength to be able to withstand all things, difficulties, prosperity, and the material. You know, a lot of people can't handle prosperity. A little bit of prosperity comes along and you say to yourself, boy, if I could just have a little bit more money, if I could just have a little bit better house, or if I could have just a little bit better, how would that change your relationship to God? Can you have prosperity and then still handle the relationship with God? And so Paul is saying here, I know how to be full. I know how to be hungry. He says, I can do all things. In other words, through Christ who strengthens me means to put power in. Believers in Christ, Christ infuses in the believer with strength to sustain them until they receive that some provision. So in verse 14, Paul adds a word there of clarification so the Philippians would not think that he's being ungrateful for their most recent gift because of what he had just written. He said, notwithstanding, he said to the Philippian church, ye have well done, and that ye did communicate with my affliction. So in the beginning of the gospel here, it was really referenced in verse 15, as when Paul first preached in Philippi, he said, when I departed, when Paul first left Philippi, which would have been in the Bible 10 years before, Paul also then ministered in Macedonia and Thessalonica, Berea, as well as in Philippi. So he said concerning giving and receiving refers to expenditures and receipts. Paul was a faithful steward of God's resources and kept careful records of what he had received, what he spent. But only the Philippians sent Paul provisions to be able to meet his needs along the way. I would challenge you to put God to a test this year. If you're not a tither, determine your mind, be intentional on your finances, and you tell God, this year, God, I'm going to put you to a test in the Bible. I'm going to tithe a tenth of my income, of my gross income, of what I make. I'm going to give it back to you. You know what really tithing, I know people that struggle with tithing, and that really what the struggle is a lack of trust or a lack of faith in God. If you say, God will take care of you and will bless you, not because the church needs it, it's not that at all. It's because of a principle in the Bible is that you and I want to be obedient unto the Lord, and we want to give him the first fruits of all that we have. We want to give him the first of the money that he's blessed us with. We want to give him the first. We go to church on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week. We want to give him the first and the best, not the leftovers, not the has-beens, not the, oh yeah, God, here it is. Give him the very best off the top first before anything else. And that's why many times people will say, you ought to do your devotions in the morning, early in the morning, and think about that or meditate on the scripture before your day gets busy, before you get going, before the world begins to fill your mind with other things. Is get that moment in time where you're giving God your very best first above everything else. It's so vitally important. We find here that he said, even in Thessalonica, in verse 16, even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. So Philippi had a pretty special place in Paul's life. And then he says here, by that, the fruit here, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that might abound to your account. You know, when we invest our time, we're laying up rewards in an account. When we invest our tithes and offerings, we're investing in that account. When we lay up our energies and service unto the Lord, we're investing in the work of the Lord and what he'd have in store for us. One of these days, my friend, you and I as believers will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go empty-handed. You want to be able to do all that you can do this side of heaven to give God your very best. Notice in verse 18, he says here, Epaphroditus. It was interesting about Epaphroditus. He delivered to Paul an offering that was well-pleasing to the Lord and taking care of God's servants. And all your need, he says here in verse 19, you got to love this. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you'll trust God completely, he's going to take care of you completely. And if you'll just put him first, and depend upon him. And so here he kind of wraps the chapter up here. And Paul saluted those in Caesar's household, you notice in verse 22, and those that had been saved in the church at Rome prior to Paul's coming. Paul was a soul winner. And he said here in verse 23, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So I leave with you this today, this simple text here in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that verse is put in a chapter that talks about people that can maybe get caught up in anxiousness or being fearful or difficulties, challenge along the way, and be careful what you think about and think on certain things. Certain things we ought not to think on, and we ought to put them out of our mind, and there really is a battle for the mind. And Satan is going to and fro, up and down the land, seeking whom he may devour. And he will come after you with a vengeance. And you got to determine that you will serve the Lord and be faithful to him and draw close to him, and that you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. God, we thank you for Philippians chapter 4. God, I thank you for the text and this, the word that you put in together that can help all of us to focus our energies, things that what we should think about, things that we should not think about, and to realize the battle that is going on in the world that we live in. God, there's really principality against principality, spiritual against spiritual. God, I pray for these people here today that you put a hedge of protection about them. Keep them safe. Allow them to protect their minds and their hearts in Christ Jesus. Help all of us, Father, today to stay loyal and faithful to you in our relationship with you, that we love you more this year in 2026 than we did last year in 2025. So God, if there's a challenge in our life, help us to draw closer to you. If there's a difficulty, help us draw closer to you. If there's a hurdle or a challenge in life and we're having a hard time getting through it, help us just to draw our hearts and minds closer to you. God, save the lost and allow us to be strengthened in your word. Help us to understand completely that we literally can do all things in Christ that strengthens us. So, Father, today we lean upon you, lean upon the Holy Spirit of God today to strengthen us, to help us, to guide us, to comfort us, and to help us as we launch into a new year. May it be a great year in serving you. In Jesus' name, we pray with every head bowed and every eye closed, my friend, today. If you're here and you're not yet saved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you start out the year by trusting him right now, right this moment, right where you sit, and accept God's gift to you of eternal life. If you desire to be saved, if you desire to be born again, and you want to know him as your Savior, would you just pray this prayer right where you sit today and open your heart and just pray this between you and God. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I am a sinner. And God, I repent of that sin and ask you to forgive me. And today I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to save my lost soul. God, today I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for eternal life. God, today I desire to be with you for all of eternity. In Jesus' name I pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Let's stand together if you will today. If you prayed that prayer today, my friend, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to help in any way that we could, and that. But maybe today the altar is open. If you wanted to come to pray, we invite you to come. But keep in mind, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. As Brother Ron leads us, you come as the Holy Spirit would lead.
When peace like a river attends, oh,
God's people said, amen. Man, I trust today you believe that. And you know, one of these days, it won't be a Mark Smith. It'll be you or me. And I just pray you're ready. And it's well within your soul that if your last breath, you say, well, I still got a little bit of time left. No, you and I don't know how much time we got left. Just make sure you live every day, every moment, that you're ready for him. And then enjoy life and go out and walk with him, draw closer to him, enjoy the life and the things that God has given to you, and live every day realizing that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God bless you. Good to see you in church. If you just greet your neighbor, tell them good to see you in church, you're dismissed.